And then we pick it up again, I guess, southwest. And this, there's now kind of a theme going on mm-hmm. where you got this regional thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
So did it start with Southwest?
It kind of did. Southwest came out in 2006, but I probably started working on it in the late 90s. Nancy and I have a song that's on, is it on Ant in the Garden? I can't remember. Medicine Tree. And for it's just sort of has that Native Americana sound to it, you know, the old Western movies. And part of it was, as I did grow up, my parents had many elders that would be come by to visit, so part of the Lummi Reservation, so I was in tune with that lifestyle, with those people, and actually would go out, you know, camping and spending time with them and learning a bit of that. So
the Jamesons.
The Jamesons.
They would be there, were they not? I knew Fred Jameson. I knew he was a Lummi. Or Beaver Chief, as he was known.
Yeah. So I had written a bunch of songs like that and just started putting them off into a little folder, you know, and then I got together with two of my pals, the bass player who's been with me forever, and my mixing engineer, and I played some of the roughs for them of what was Southwest was initially called the Desert Project, because everything was about, the music was about being in the desert more than anything else. And when I played that for them, along with some other concepts, they said, no, this is the one you got to finish. So spent the next couple of years, that was probably, you know, like 2003 or 4. And it came together just in bits and pieces with various field recordings of percussion and stuff, and then picking up the pedal steel guitar. At this point, I actually hired a pedal steel guitar player to do that with me. And
Terry Lauber.
Terry Lauber, yeah. Yeah, really, really a fun, different kind of a pedal steel guitar player. He's a vocalist. And we kind of talked about that's probably the reason why he has such a lyrical and different approach to playing the pedal steel guitar, because he's primarily just a great, great singer. Really, really great singer.
And then Gary Strautsos on flutes, and providing kind of, even though he's a white guy, plays these native flutes like he was born around here.
Yeah, he really feels it. Really, really feels it. It's very important to him.
All the comforts of home studios.
Yep, here you are.
Right here. Yeah. And so when I listened to this first record, our first cut on this, Sunrise at Four Corners, first of all, the title, there must have been an experience to give it that title.
Yeah. Nancy and I had done quite a bit of touring in the Southwest, you know, playing Albuquerque and Silver City and
Taos
and Farmington, which is up near the Four Corners.
Sure, home of the best gas station burrito you can find in the world, I think.
And we went out to, you know, Chaco Canyon and did a bunch of exploring out there and went to the various kivas and, you know, actually had probably 3 or 4 trips up that way over the course of a few years. And, you know, it's just an amazing landscape out there.
I wish we had the CD player and I could pop it in and we could listen to it, because this tune starts with sort of an intro. You know, it has this introduction and then it has this chord, I don't know, about 20, 25 seconds in. And sometimes I get the feeling that maybe if I'm seeing you do it in concert or something, that you would just turn up the amps a little bit. And this really kind of power chord feel to it. You know what tune I'm talking about? What part I'm talking about?
I think
the tune starts down, 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 down. It does that a couple times.
Yeah.
It goes, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's got a little, you know, a little Jimmy Page thing.
Is that what it is? It's the Jimmy Page?
Well, you know, once we get start talking about Mississippi, we'll get to how that all kind of works in. But yeah. Yeah.
And then The Last Caballero.
Yeah.
Which we had a road trip to the Southwest ourselves, and we had these two records, and my traveling companion loved them, and I'm like, oh, you got
just recently?
Yeah, May. Yeah, we were listening to them, and I had a feeling I was going to interview you, so I was reacquainting myself, and well, one of the tunes from Mississippi was the theme song for the trip, but But the Les Caballero, I described to her as sort of a New Age rawhide.
Yeah, it kind of is. Two-step.
Is that what it is?
Two-step, yeah. That's the one that, that's a fun piece. That one got a lot of airplay. People seem to pick up on that one. You know, it moves along. It's a little peppy.
It's got a little pep to it. Yeah. And then there are vocalists on here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sort of doing what do they call it? Ghost vocals, I think they call it.
Well, vocalese. Now, this is a really, really funny story. So the percussionist on Southwest, T.J. Morris.
There you go.
He was recording some of his parts at his studio. He just did them. I gave him the tracks. I didn't need to be there. It was just like he knew what he wanted to do, so he did it. And then he sat me down when I went out there to check him out. He says, I got something I want to play for you, and you don't have to use this if you don't want to. In fact, I suspect you probably don't, but I just want to show you what Petra, my wife, did. Now, Petra's from Sweden, and she is from the southwest portion of Sweden, and they have a chant style that's very similar to Native American chanting.
That's Swedish chanting.
That's not American.
No kidding.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
That is crazy stuff. And so just tingling, just thinking about the first time I heard what she was doing, I said, no, this is the missing element. Put this in with pedal steel guitar and some of the stuff it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's interesting because one of the questions I had, and then you mentioned hanging around with Lummies, so you've got some friends in that community, but this notion of appropriation, but not even an issue here because it's sweet, Southwest Sweden.
Do you get
any grief for including, you know, I mean, somebody hears that, just assumes it's Native American and...
No, nobody has said anything about that. Yeah, they just assume, and when I tell them otherwise, and of course they react like you, they're just fascinated that can be. But it's, you know, it's that whole Bjork thing, you know, that whole just I mean, when she sings too, she sounds like kind of has a Bjork thing going on there. But well, I'm Scandinavian, you know, my dad's full blooded Norwegian, my mom's English, but yeah,
that's fascinating.